Thank you very much. The Chumash gives us two distinct mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of Kibbur Aviyim, and the other is a very different mitzvah of Mora Aviyim. And the Talmud explains what the difference is between the two, and it is important to know. Kibbud means service. We're obligated to service our parents. And the examples given by the Talmud are Machilo, Mashkehu. We have to feed our parents if they need help in eating. Manilo, we have to put on their shoes, we have to malbisho, we have to dress them if they need the assistance. My father is in his high 80s, close to 90, and he doesn't want me to help him tie his shoelaces, so that would be a chutzpah if I would tie. He doesn't want me to help him make a cup of coffee. He can make his own coffee. That's not a mitzvah, keep it aviyen, when they don't need the help and they feel insulted, but when they do need the help, that's exactly when the mitzvah of kibbud aviyen applies. Kibbud means to give physical service. And mora of the aim is what we would generally define as respect. The Talmud says that it's obligatory to stand up when a parent walks into the room. The general practice is we don't stand up, we assume our parents are moichel. But strictly speaking, if they're not moichel, so we're obligated to stand up out of respect. One is not permitted to call the parent by their first name. This is a violation of mora, this is a violation of respect. In America, by many people, there's a modern shtick that the parents want to stay young forever. So they want the children, the dafkit, to call them by their first name as if they're buddy-buddy, as if they're the same age, as if I'm going to become 30 years younger because I call my child by his first name and my child's going to call me by my first name. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that even if the parents are moichel, that's not proper. The children should not call their parents by their first name even if they're moichel. These are the two distinct mitzvahs of kibud aviyim, which requires the service. The children have to give service to the parents, and mora aviyim, they have to show respect for the parents. The Talmud has an expression that the din, an expression used by the Talmud is that mechabdo b'chayim, mechabdo lahamoso. The obligation of kibud to give service applies both while the parents are alive and even after the parents die. This is problematic. How can you be mechabed the parents after they die? Mora, you can show respect for the parents, to speak about them with respect, but how can one physically give service to the parents after they pass away? What, are you going to feed them food? You're going to dress them? You're going to bathe them? You're going to drive them to the airport? You're going to make a rain, go shopping for them, take down the garbage for them? There's no way to give service to the parents. So it's problematic what that line means, what that passage means in the Talmud. Soloveitchik used to say that it's labdavke. It doesn't really mean mechabdo. Lachamosa means mora, that you have to show respect. The mora is required both while the parents are alive and after the parents die. It's slightly different. The mora after the parents die takes on a slightly different. You can't stand up for the parents if they're not alive. The prohibition against sitting in their seat is not exactly the same after they die. After they die, all the seats change. Everything is different. But there's still a requirement to give respect towards the parents even after they pass away. In the Shulchan Aruch, they do speak about the possibility of giving physical service, even though it sounds strange, to give kavod, physical service to the parents after they pass away. How is that? So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote a passage from the Zohar that in the event that the parents deserve a punishment in Gehenna, if the parents sin and they deserve to be punished in Gehenna, and their children or their grandchildren, their descendants, will recite Kaddish, so the reciting a Kaddish will have the effect of redeeming the parents out of Gehenna. So that's considered something like physical help. You're physically helping the parents to get out of Gehenna. So in that case, that would be considered kibbud aviyim, not just mora. Mora means to respect. This is considered kibbud, the help to give them assistance even after they passed away. Or the Talmud has another din after the parents die. There is a din, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that to show kibbud to the parents within the first year. The Talmud says the maximum that anybody suffers in Gehenna, if he's the worst rush in the world, so the maximum that a Jewish person is going to suffer in Gehenna is going to be for 12 months. So the Talmud says that during the course of the first year after a parent dies, when the children refer to the parent, they're supposed to accept upon themselves whatever suffering, a very strange concept, whatever suffering the parents deserve. So the child should say, Hareini kaparas mishkovo. I want to accept upon myself to pay that debt. It's a very strange, what do you mean? If the parent was a Russian, he was Machal Shabbos, and I'm not a Machal Shabbos, so why should they punish me? Why should that be considered, why should the parents be Yaitzei? Why should they get off the hook in Gehenna if they're going to give me a punishment? It doesn't make any sense, but that's what the Talmud speaks of, such a concept. And this is considered covet. This is considered physical service. I'm redeeming the parents from Gehenna by accepting upon myself some of the punishment. Whatever punishment is due to the parents, the heavenly court should bring upon me, and thereby I should lighten the burden of the parents. We find this din not only by parents after they die. The Talmud has it, even the Mishnah tells us when the Kohen Gadol, when the high priest is sitting Shiva, let's say for a relative of his, so the Mishnah says when the people come to be Menachem Avil to the Kohen Gadol, so they're supposed to say also, out of respect for the Kohen Gadol, not so much out of respect, but to give service to the Kohen Gadol, so they're supposed to say also, whatever suffering you're supposed to have from the heavenly court should we accept upon ourselves, and that should lighten your burden, because we have an obligation not only to lighten the burden of parents, to be mechabed parents, but to be mechabed the Kohen Gadol as well, so we have an obligation to lighten their burden. The Poskim discussed, but that's these are unusual examples of covet, of lightening the burden after the parent died. Usually we say that after the parent died, then it's mora, then it's respect, it's not so much kibud. Kibud means really service. The main mitzvah of kibud is while the parents are alive. Machilo, mashkeo, you have to feed them, you have to help them out, you have to, if they need a ride somewhere, if they need someone to go shopping and so on, then you have to help them out. There is an interesting discussion. Unfortunately, it comes up more often than it should. If parents didn't get along with their children, in earlier years when the parents were self-sufficient, and the parent out of kas, right or wrong, the parent out of kas says to the son, to the child, I don't want to have anything to do with you, don't do me any favors, I'm moichel the kovod from now at me'avias mishona, moichel everything. So the first 60 years till the age of 85, the parents can do pretty well on their own. And then what happens when the parents are 85? Then they change their mind. They say, I changed my mind. Now I want the son to be mishamish me. I want the son to help me out. Now I need a little help. I want the son to help me. So what would be the din if somebody owes me $1,000 and I say, I'm moichel the choiv, I'm moichel, you don't have to pay. Now I have a lot of money, there's no problem. And then many years go by, and I'm retired, and I used up all of my savings, and now I can use that $1,000. Now I say, I changed my mind. The $1,000 that I was moichel you 50 years ago, I changed my mind, I want back the $1,000. It's too late. If you're moichel, you were moichel. So what's the din over here, Taki? If the parents said at the age of 45, they had a rotten child, they thought it was a rotten child, whatever, they told this child who was 20 years old, don't do me any favors, I'm moichel on your kibbut av, moichel forever. You don't have to ever fulfill the mitzvah of kibbut av. So is that takke, do you consider kibbut av again like an obligation, bein odom lahavera, like someone owes me $1,000? Moichel is moichel, so I can't change my mind, I can't decide 65 years later to change my mind and demand back the $1,000, so I can't ask for the kibbut later on. Or perhaps I should say no, perhaps we should assume that the mitzvah of kibbut aviyim, even though it entails giving physical service to another human being, perhaps it's not so much a mitzvah bin adam lahavero. Perhaps it's really a form of a mitzvah bin adam lamokam. The Talmud says, in the context of kibbut aviyim, that every person has three shutfim, the father, the mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when one is mechabed one's parents, it's considered as if indirectly they're really being mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the obligation of kibbut aviyim maybe is really a mitzvah bin olam lamakom. It's not really bin olam lachaver. If we show respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's partners, namely the parents, so this is indirectly a method of showing kibbut to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So really the parents shouldn't be the balabatim to be moichel on their kibbut. It does make sense that they should be able to be moichel. So how come the halacha says that the parents can be moichel? So the answer is that's not moichel. Let's say my father now. I'll ask my father, Dad, would you like me to tie your shoelaces? He said, sugar, what are you going to tie my shoelaces? I'm able to tie my own shoelaces. You want me to put on your trousers? You want me to take, well, what do you mean? I can get dressed by myself. I don't need. So that's by definition. It's not that the father is moichel on the covet. By definition, that's not called covet. That's how the poskim have an expression in Shulchan Aruch. They have the expression, Ritzon HaShalodom, Zehu Kvodo. Whatever the person wants, that determines what's covet. You're going to do something against the parents' wish? I'm going to insist I'm going to tie my father's shoelace. This is a bizarium. That's not a covet. So maybe when the father tells the son in an angry argument, father tells his son at an early age, I'm boichel the kavod, you don't have to do anything for me. So true, the son shouldn't do anything because the father is in such an angry mood. If the son is going to show any kavod to the father, that'll be considered a bizon. He doesn't want his service. But later on, the father can change his mind, perhaps, because the din mechila never set in at all. It's not a shibud bin adam l'chaveira that the father has a father's balabas, the father should have the right to be moichel. It's a different word. When it calls man, the parents are moichel, then by definition it's not considered covet. So this is a topic that Shara didn't come up in our century. It came up many centuries ago. And it's discussed at length by one of the major poskim, the Maharam Shik, a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. And he demonstrates from Gemaris that the mitzvah of kibud aviyim is clearly bein adam l'makom, and maybe bein adam l'chaveira also, but it's clearly bein adam l'makom. And therefore, the father is nishkin balabos. The parents do not have the right to be moichel on their kovid in the sense of mechila, like if someone owes me a debt, I'm moichel, and then I can't change my mind later. Calls man that they're moichel, that they define what's called kovid. Whatever assistance they need, that's the definition of kovid. If they say, don't do me any tavis, I don't want to hear anything from you, don't call me up and don't visit me, and don't give me any services, if you'll do against their wishes, that's not called kovid. But later on, when the parents need the help and they tell the children, now we change our mind, we want the kovid, then you talk to them, to give them the kovid, we have to give them the service. The Talmud tells us we have a principle that any... in Hebrew, we don't have a neutral gender. Either you speak in masculine or in feminine. So the whole Torah is written in masculine. Everything is written below Shem Zohar. And the Talmud has a principle that although the entire Chumash is written, you have to pick one gender, so though the entire Chumash is written in a masculine gender, Hishva HaKosav Isha L'Ish, all the mitzvahs that are written in the Torah, the mitzvah sesi, but the mitzvah sesi, everything applies equally to women, unless you have a few exceptions to the rule. If you have a mitzvah sasei, shahazman groma, like tefillin and tzitzis and shofar, and sitting in sukkah and shaking a lulav, but kibud aviyim is not a mitzvah sasei, shahazman groma. So strictly speaking, the women are equally obligated as the men. Now the Talmud has, however, a rule. The entire Chumash is written in the masculine gender and applies equally to the men and to the women, unless it says the word ish. If it says the word ish, then it means it only applies to the men and doesn't apply to the women. So here it happens to say ish imo biyaviv tiro. It's not in the context of kibud aviyim, but rather in the context of mora, of having respect for the parents. And the Talmud asks, what kind of a lashon is that? What do you mean ish? That the mitzvah of kibud aviyim, mitzvah of mora aviyim, only applies to the men and doesn't apply to the women? Never heard of such a thing. The Mishnah says that it applies equally to the daughters as it applies to the sons. So the Talmud says what the Pasuk means to say is the following, that sometimes if the daughter is married, years ago the practice used to be when someone had sons and daughters, so the sons got married, they went into the business with the father, so the father lives over here. So they added on another few rooms to the house, so the son lives here with his children, with the grandchildren, all the sons who married lived over here. And all the daughters are married would go move in with their in-laws. They would live somewhere else. So the Talmud just points out, if the daughter is married, the parents live over here in New York, the daughter marries a boy from Australia, so how can she fulfill kibud aviyim? She's over there. What, she's going to come, the mother doesn't feel well, so the wife is going to leave Australia, she's going to service the mother? It's going to ruin her marriage. I mean, she has a husband, she has children, she can't just pick up and leave and take care of her mother. So the Talmud says, in such a circumstance, that's what the Pasuk means to say, Ish, Sipik, Biyado. If it's a son, the son is understood. The son moves into the same house. He's always around the parents in the same neighborhood, in the same location, very often in the same house. And traditionally, the daughter would marry someone and move to that location, to that area where the in-laws live. So if the daughter is married and she's not around the parents, it's obvious that she won't be able to service the parents. So basically, this din is not only because the daughter is married, she lives somewhere else. What if the son gets married and he moves to Australia? The same din. It's not only it's not a son versus a daughter. The question is it unreasonable to expect of the child that he should service the parents? Whenever it's unreasonable, son is a surgeon in Australia. So the mother calls him up on the phone, she'd like a cup of coffee. What, he should fly from Australia to make the cup of coffee? That's ridiculous. That's, of course it's ridiculous. It's not a din that A married daughter is part of Kibbut Aviyev. It's lav dafke married daughter. Married son, lav dafke married. Could be single also. Let's say it's a single child. And the child lives in California. Normally, in the days of the Tanakh, a single child lives in the parents' home. What, he's going to live on the west side? Where's he going to live? He lives in his parents' home until he gets married. Well, he's going to stay single forever. He's going to have a career when he's single. They never had such a thing. So, of course, the single children, I'm going to even keep it out of here. But today, sometimes you have a single child, he lives very far away. So it's also unreasonable to expect of the child that he should be mekayim kibbut aviyev. So whenever it's unreasonable, so then halacha says that one is not obligated to fulfill kibbut aviyev. You have to say that this is the pshat in the Gemara, because if you say that the pshat is when the daughter is married, so she's obligated to service her husband, and therefore there's a conflict between the kavod that's due to her husband, the kavod that's due to her parents, and the kavod to the husband takes precedence over the kavod to the parents. And this is difficult. The husband is mechuyev to be mechabed the in-laws also. In the Shulchan Aruch it says, based on the pasuk kaved es avicho, the es imecha, that the word es is always taken as a ribuy. The word es comes to add something extra. So not only is there a din that you have to be mechabed parents, the din even applies to parents-in-law. Es avicho refers to the father-in-law, and Esi Mecha refers to the mother-in-law. And he points out in the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur, and that section of Hilchos Kibbut Aviyev, that in the Sefer Shmuel, in the Navi, we read that David HaMelech was the son-in-law of Shaul HaMelech. He married the daughter, he married two daughters of Shaul HaMelech. In fact, he was a double son-in-law of Shaul HaMelech. That's a problem. How can he marry two sisters? That's a major problem that the Talmud has a great difficulty with. So David HaMelech was the son-in-law of Shaul HaMelech, and he refers to him as dad. And he doesn't refer to him as dad. They didn't all refer to him as dad because he was the king. They didn't refer to Clinton as dad. He referred to him as dad because he was his father-in-law, and he wanted him to call him dad. I remember when I first got married, I used to refer to my mother-in-law as Rebbetzin Shapiro, so she was so insulted. What do you mean? She wanted me to call her mom, or something like that. So that's David HaMelech referred to his father-in-law as dad because the father-in-law wanted it like that. So what do you mean when the daughter is married, so she has a conflict between the kavod that's due to the husband and the kavod that's due to the parents, and the kavod to the husband takes precedence? Why? But the husband has an obligation to give kavod to the in-laws also. So the husband has an obligation to let his wife leave Australia and go back to Queens and take care of the parents. The answer is, it's not a matter of chiyuv to the kavod to the husband, to the parents. It's a matter of what's reasonable and what's unreasonable. That's totally unreasonable to expect that the daughter should leave her family and go all the way to Queens in order to take care of the mother. That's unreasonable. She has her own life, and she has to go her own way. So that is a principle in Shulchan Aruch, that the chiyuv kibbut aviyev only applies when it's reasonable. But sometimes it's hard to determine what's reasonable and what's unreasonable. So sometimes it's best to ask a third impartial individual rather than have the children decide what's reasonable, what's unreasonable. We should ask a shayla of a rab, the same rab that we ask the shaylas in Shabbos and basa b'cholav and everything else. We should ask him, what does he think? Is there an obligation of kibbut av in this case? Is it reasonable or not? The reason why I mention this is because in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi the following. The halacha says, the Talmud says, the Gemara of Babli says, that let's say my father is interested in visiting Eretz Yisrael. So he says, could I please take care of him? So I say, okay, give me a credit card. I'll be happy to make all the phone calls. I don't drive a car. I'll take you to the airport, and you'll pay for the tax, and you'll pay for the ticket to Eretz Yisrael. He says, no, keep it aviyev. I want you to pay for the ticket to Eretz Yisrael. I want you to pay for the hotel. I want you to pay for the taxi. So the Talmud has a discussion of this. Is the mitzvah of kibbut aviyev, what does it mean mechabitzan? Mechabitzan, when you stand up, you hold the door, you put on their coat. When they want to sit down, you mechabit a woman, so you hold the chair. Covered. It's kostnish ken geld. Yeah, but what about kibbut aviyev? What if it does cost money? My father says he'd like to have a tour of Eretz Yisrael now. So am I mechuyev to lay out the money? So if my father has money, so the Talmud says no. Kibbut av is mishal av, below mishal bein. The father wants services. I say, I'll take care of it for you. It's hard for you to drive. I'll get you a taxi. I'll get you a hotel. I'll make all the arrangements. I'll carry the valise in, but you'll pay for it. So shine. That's a din of kibbut av. But I'm not mechuyev to pay the money. However, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, what happens if my parents need service? And I'm busy. I work for a living. So I say, how can I service my parents? They need service all day long. They need all day long. They need help. So how can I work? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you are mechuyev to do. If you can take off from your job, they won't pay you salary. I'm not laying out money from my pocket. You see, I can't take my father to Eretz Yisrael. I don't have a boat. I don't have a plane. So if he tells me he'd like to go on a trip to Eretz Yisrael. So the only way to go on a trip to Eretz Yisrael is by buying a ticket on an airplane, let's say. And then my father has assets, so he's mechuyev to pay. I'm not mechuyev. I'm mechuyev to be metapolin. I'm mechuyev to make all the phone calls, make all the arrangements and everything, but it's from his credit card, not from my credit card. But what happens, let's say, my father needs service. And I can supply the service for him physically. The only thing is that I'm busy working for a living. But I can give up my job. So I won't have a salary. I won't starve to death. I have a little bit of savings. So I'll live on my savings. So the Talmud says that does haste reasonable. I'm mechuyev to give up my job. Bitul malacha is considered reasonable. That's not considered an unreasonable request. If the fellow's a surgeon in Australia, and the parents say, we need some help, please come back. So that's unreasonable. He should give up his whole career and everything. But let's say a fellow is a bal malacha, he has a job and he has savings, and the parents need assistance, and he can give up his job, and he won't lose his job forever. As long as the parents need assistance, they're not asking him he should give up his job, period. He should retire now. They need a week of service they need. They don't feel well, so they want me to take off a week from working, and I shouldn't get paid salary. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you are obligated to do. That's not considered unreasonable. So it's not so easy to determine what forms of kibbutz, what forms of service that we are obligated to give to the parents, which are considered reasonable, which are considered unreasonable. So that's why it's best to ask a shayla on this. Now in the Shulchan Aruch, they have the following din, which is important to analyze, to shed light on many cases. There's one whole chapter in Shulchan Aruch and Yeridaya about Kibud Avayim Siman Resh Mem, chapter 240. So the very end of that chapter, the last line in Shulchan Aruch, in this section about Kibud Avayim, runs as follows. If the son is in love with a certain girl, and he wants to marry her, and the parents are opposed to the Shidduch, but the girl's a religious girl, it's not that she's not religious and he's going to take him away from Orthodoxy. Nice religious girl. The girl is an Ungarische and they're Galiziana, or they're Yekis, and whatever, Litvische, there's some kind of an issue there. So Husha for the family, you should marry, whatever. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that the son does not have to listen to the parents. There's no din of Kibud Avayim when it comes to Shidduchim. So the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on the bottom of the page quotes, Vilna Gaon doesn't say original, he's just quoting the three traditional classical reasons that were given for this din. So the reason number one is, let's say the son wants to observe a mitzvah, and the parents don't want to let him do the mitzvah. So it says in the Chumash that there's no din of Kibud Avayim whenever the parents covered, whenever the service for the parents is in conflict with the mitzvah. So here the son, you can't just go marry the first girl you meet in the street. It takes a while till you meet a girl, till it fits, till you think that that's the girl for you. So he already went out with so many girls, and he picked this girl, and then the parents don't like it, so he wants to do a mitzvah now, shall I get married? And the parents are preventing him from doing a mitzvah. He's not going to just go the next girl. The parents say, don't marry her, marry her, shine. I'll marry the other girl. He's not going to just marry the other girl. It'll take at least a week. It'll take at least half a year. You don't just marry the other girl. So he wants to do the mitzvah now of getting married and starting a family. And the parents are giving him a hard time. They don't want him to do the mitzvah now. So the Kibud Avayim is in conflict with the mitzvah. So that's reason number one. Why there's no din of Kibud Avayim? Reason number two that's given in Shulchan Aruch is, and this is very, very important, Kibud Avayim means service to the parents. This is not service. If my father asks me, could I please arrange for his trip to Eretz Yisrael in the hotel rooms and the taxi, fine, I'll arrange it. I'll give me the credit card. I'll take care of everything. I'll give him a ride. I'll do whatever I can. That's kibud, to give service to the parents. But the parents should tell me how to run my life. My father's going to tell me, I think he would make a very good surgeon. I remember there was one man in the neighborhood, he wanted me to convince his son that he should become a doctor. The son never went to college. He wanted him to go to college and to go to medical school. He says, he has such beautiful hands, the hands of a surgeon. I should convince his son that he should, I used to learn with the son, so I should convince him he should go to medical school, he should become a doctor. So I said, maybe the hands are good for turning pages of Gemara. He happens to be a successful Rosh Yeshiva now. He has his own yeshiva, the guy. I don't have my own yeshiva. That son that the father wanted him to become a surgeon, he's a successful Rosh Yeshiva, a big man, a famous person. So the din is in Shulchan Aruch that there's no din of Kibbud Av when the parents are telling the children how to run their lives. The parents are giving eitzes. They say, you should do this and you should do that. You should marry this girl, you should marry that girl. That's my life. The parents have no right to run the life of the children. That's not included in the din of Kibbud. It's not included in Kibbud. Kibbud means to give service to the parents, not service. And it's not Mora either. Mora means to show respect. It's not disrespectful. If they're giving the eitzes, it's not considered disrespectful not to listen to their eitzes. They're not supposed to give eitzes. They should let the children run their own lives. So this is the second reason that's given by the Vilna Gaon. He quotes the three traditional reasons why there's no din of Kibbud Aviyim when a child wants to marry one person and the parents are not happy about their choice in marriage. So the first reason was that the child is interested in performing a mitzvah and the parents are trying to postpone the fulfillment of the mitzvah. That's not proper. The second reason is that bichlal, it's not Kibbud Aviyim. They have no right to tell me how to run my life. Each child has a right to run his own life. And the third reason that's given is a very important reason, that the mitzvah of Kibbud Av only applies Mishal Av below Mishal Bein. The children are not obligated to spend money from their pocket in order to do the Kibbud Av. So the Vilna Gaon says if they're not obligated to spend money, certainly more so, they're not obligated to have a broken heart. He fell in love with this girl. He wants to marry this girl. And the parents are giving me Agmas Nefesh. They don't want me to marry this girl. They're breaking my heart. They want me to marry a different girl. So that's a violation of the din of Mishalav. The law of Mishal Bein, interesting. Even though he's not losing any money, he's losing happiness. So they consider happiness is more than money. There's no din of Kibbud Av in such a case. In the Shulchan Aruch, in the Talmud Bavli, this doesn't appear, but in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that there are some cases where the din of Kibbud Av applies even Mishal Bein. Sometimes the son is obligated to spend money. When is that? So they have the following case if the father has no money. Let's say the parents are old already and the whole savings were used up. They're in a nursing home and we used up all the money. A lot of times children are cheap. They don't want to put the parents in a more expensive nursing home where the service is better because then they're going to get less Yerusha. They want to make sure that they get a bigger Yerusha, so they put the parents in a cheaper nursing home, which is less expensive, and poorer service. So that's gneva. That's scandalous. The money is not theirs. If the parents die, they leave money. Matot. If they don't leave any money, they're garnished. In fact, when you study the book of Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech complains about what a terrible thing it is that people leave money for Yerusha for the children. Mi yodeh, who knows what the children are going to do with the Yerusha? And the Talmud says that they were Rabbonim, they were Amoraim who saw to it to fulfill the instructions of Shlomo HaMelech and Koheles. They saw to it that they didn't leave any money for the children. They spent all the money while they were alive. They wanted money to go to this one, this institution, the Sheikh. They were Mechalik all the money while they were alive. And there was no Yerusha left at all. There was a pot of beans, $10 worth of beans, and that was it. And they say there was some Balei Musa, Rabbi Saul Salanta did like that, several other Gedolim from the beginning of the Musa movement. They followed the Seitz of the Gemara. Rabbi Saul Salanta was a rabbi, he had Svarim, he gave away all the Svarim, and then the last few months of his life, he borrowed Svarim, so that after he dies, he'll just give the Svarim back to the shul that he borrowed it from. Whatever assets, he didn't have so many assets, whatever assets he had, he gave away, because he knew he only had a short a year or two to go. He gave everything away, so after he died, there was nothing to give over B'yush, a couple of old torn clothes, a couple of shmatas. So the children threw it in the garbage anyway. So this is forbidden for children to make such a cheshvan that they don't want to spend so much money on the parents to put them in a better nursing home because they want to have a bigger Yerusha. That's Geneva. The children have to make the decision. The parents are not able to make the decision. They're not physically able, not mentally able. So the children have to act like a real apotropos for the parents and spend the parents' money, whatever is necessary to take care of them. Now, what happens if all of the money is depleted, and now there's no money? So are the children mechuyev now to maintain the parents in a nursing home? Kibbud Av is mishalav, alo mishal bein, the children don't have to spend any money. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that in the case that the parents have no money, the children have, then the din is the Kibbud Av is mishal bein, the children are mechuyev to spend the money. Not only is it so because of that reason, if the parents have no money and the children do, then the halacha changes, and the halacha says that kibud av is mishalat, mishal bein, children are mechuyev. There is the following a discussion that appears in Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's Sefer. He has a shaila like this. Let's say a man is a dentist, and a parent needs dental work. So normally the child is mechuyev to serve as the parents. I'm not a dentist. I can't take care of my father's dentistry. So if my father needs some work, so he asks me, could I please arrange? So I said, I'll arrange. You should go to the dentist and you'll pay. My father has money. So I said, you'll pay. I'm not mechuyev to pay. Okay. If I'm a dentist, though, and I can take care of my father, so I'm mechuyev to take care. The problem is that that's min ha-Torah. The son who is a doctor, a dentist, and is able to take care of the parent is obligated to do so. But with the Rabbanon, the rabbis prohibited, whenever it's possible to get a different doctor, the rabbis forbid it, because there is a din of makah over the imo. You're not permitted to cause the parent to bleed. So strictly speaking, if the dentist has to scratch the gums or something, a little bleeding, that's not makah over the imo, that's permissible. He's doing surgery or something, that's permissible. But the rabbis of the Talmud made a gezeirah mid the Rabbanon, they prohibited the son from treating the parent whenever there's another doctor available. There's no other doctor available, so then it's permissible for the son to treat the parent. But whenever there's another doctor available, so they prohibit the son from treating the parent because he may scratch too much. And it may cause a slight amount of bleeding that will be unnecessary. So in order not to violate the biblical prohibition of makah over v'ima to cause a little bleeding unnecessarily, so we tell the son, you shouldn't treat the parent. So Tzvi Pesach Frank has this shaila. The son is a dentist, let's say, and the parents need some work done on them. And the parents have assets, and the son is a dentist, he has assets also. So the din is the son is not allowed to treat the parents, he has to get another dentist to treat. So b'noik shabaylam, what they usually do is that two dentists make up, I'll treat your parents and you'll treat my parents. Sure. So I won't charge you for treating your parents, you won't charge me for treating my parents, it'll be a wash, and everything approximately is taken care of. But let's say I don't have such a deal with another dentist. So biblically, I'm mechuyev to treat my parent. And I have to be careful not to cause any extra bleeding. Rabbinically, I'm not allowed to treat my parents, I'd have to go to another doctor. So the shaila was brought up, who has to pay, if the parents have assets, who has to pay? So some said, well, the obligation is on the kibud av is mishal av, not mishal bein. So the son is not mechuyev to pay. So Tzvi Pesach Frank writes, he thinks that that's absolutely not correct. And he analyzed, he gives the following case. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell us that once somebody from Brisk got a telegram that his father is dying in Warsaw, and his father would like to see him once more. Before he dies, could he please come to see him? So the Balabos went to ask Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav of Brisk, am I obligated to go see my father? It costs money to go by train. And the din is that the son is not obligated to spend money for the purpose of kibud av v'im. So am I obligated to go to travel to Warsaw or not? Because it's going to cost money. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, you're right. You shouldn't take the train. You should go by foot. What does that mean, go by foot? So it's not a joke. He didn't mean it as a joke. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank gives exactly that marshal. It doesn't quote the story of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, but the telegram, he says, and if the son has to go travel somewhere to see the father, and it costs money for the trip, would you say that the son is not mechuyev to spend money? No, he's physically able to walk to Warsaw. He can walk, but it'll take him a week to walk. It'll take him a week, his feet will fall off. So he wants to take a train to lighten his burden. He can walk to Warsaw, but he doesn't want to break his feet and he doesn't want to waste so much time. So that's his problem. That's not the father's problem. Strictly speaking, he can take off from work for 2 weeks. He can walk to Warsaw a week. He'll have aches and pains and corns and whatever. And he'll visit the father, then he'll walk back. The reason why he doesn't want to walk is because he doesn't want to lose 2 weeks of parnos. He doesn't want to break his legs. So that's for his own purpose that he doesn't want to do that. So that's not, he's not spending the money in order to do the kibud av, spending the money in order to have a healthier body for himself. So that's not included in the din of mishal av alo mishal bein. So that's what Tzvi Pesach Frank says in this case as well. Biblically speaking, the son is a dentist, he's permitted and obligated to treat the parent. He'll be careful not to cut unnecessarily. The rabbis forbid the son, if there's another doctor available, the rabbis forbid the son from treating the father because they said, you better be careful, you may cut unnecessarily. he may cause a slight amount of bleeding that's not really necessary for the father's condition, and then you'll be in violation of an avera of maka ovivimo. So they recommend to the son, you better get a different doctor, but that's l'tovus the son. That's like the son shouldn't get calluses on his feet, shouldn't get corns, and his leg shouldn't fall off. So yeah, they don't want the son to violate the din of chayvul bavu of maka ovivimo. So in this case, the son is mukhayif to spend. The son, the dentist, is mukhayif to spend money so that the parents should get the dental treatment by someone else. So usually, very often that'll be the case. Let's say the son lives in the same city with the parents, and the parents need some help now for a while. So if the parents are going to need help for the rest of their lives and the son has to retire at an early age, he can't retire. He's going to lose his parnassus, so that's unreasonable. What if the parents only need help for a month? Father just got out of surgery and he needs full-time help. So either they're going to hire help and it's going to cost money, so it's going to be a shaila who should pay, the son or the father, or the son can take off from work for a month and service the father. So strictly speaking, the son is mechuyav to take off from work. To take off from work and to lose salary for a week or for a month, that the halacha does not consider unreasonable. The son is mechuyav. The son doesn't want to. You don't want to. You want to get your parnassus, so it's your obligation to pay for the help. You don't see over there that the parents should pay for it. Then the son is mechuyav to pay, even if the parents have a lot of assets. If the parents want to pay tov, I mean, you don't force the son to pay. But the halacha says that the son is mechuyav to take care of that, and if need be, the son has to pay from his own pocket.